ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
दत्तविद्य महाभाग गुणकर्म विभागयो गुणा गुणेश वर्तन्त इति मज्ञान सिद्ध्यते। इसे तत्वविद्तु इसे वन हु इज द नॉयर ऑफ द ट्रूथ व्हाट डज ही डू ही नोज द डिफरेंशिएट बिटवीन व्हाट इज वर्क एंड डिवोशन एंड व्हाट इज वर्क कॉस्टिव रिजल्ट। इट इज वन हु इज द नॉलेज द एब्सोल्यूट ट्रूथ ओ माइटी आर्म डज नॉट एंगेज हिमसेल्फ इन द सेंसेस and sense gratification, knowing well the differences between work in devotion and work for positive results. So, the work in devotion and work for positive results may apparently appear to be the same. We were given the example of Arjuna. Arjuna fighting and Duryodhana fighting, it appears to be the same. They have chariots, they have swords, they have bow and arrows. If work in devotion, like what we do, and what our materialist outside does, it looks very similar. But what is the difference? Touch of it can very clearly differentiate. The knower of the truth. You can clearly say this is meant for Krishna. This is Krishna's service. And the other work done by a materialist, that is what creative results to the aim of sense gratification. It says, guna guneshu vartanta, he says. Guna guneshu vartanta means the senses are engaged in sense gratification. He clearly understands when the materialist is doing the work. So a devotee never does such type of work. That means a devotee should be extremely careful to constantly analyze himself whether this activity is meant for Krishna service or for my sense gratification. Many examples can be given. Like sometimes the devotees like to hear some Western music. They must be coming from the background where they have been hearing a lot of Western songs. So here after coming we want to hear Hare Krishna and Western. Of course it's a controversial topic. Somebody may say I feel great devotion when I hear that Hare Krishna Western music. But that feeling of devotion, whether we don't know whether it's devotion or sense gratification, it's really questionable, because sometimes such type of songs which are sung in some particular cinema tune, one is reminded of that old tune. In fact, one goes back to the old back to that he says in his mind before. So in Krishna consciousness we should be very, very careful not to get trapped in the sense gratification things. So which is very clearly unlike, which is meant for sense gratification. Like one example, Giriraj Swami Maharaj was telling in one of his lectures, he was saying there was some sannyasi in his con. So he was very attached to eating sweets. He liked sweets very much, especially gulab jamun and rasagulla. He was very much want to eat them. So when Mahaprasad would come out from the dirty kitchen, he would tell the Brahmachari, Brahmachari, go and get that. I want to honor Mahaprasadam, he would say. To get the gulab jamun, I want to honor him. So that is with what intention? Only Krishna knows. With what intention he wants to honor Mahaprasad. So somebody comes and gives you, oh, you want Mahaprasad, please take some dal. Dal, you will not want to offer it. You want to honor only gulab jamun. So in the same way, even within the stream of devotional service, one has to very carefully observe whether one is gratifying one's senses or one is pleasing Krishna. Here what he says, oh mighty armed, such an order absolute truth, he does not engage himself in the senses and sense gratification, knowing well the differences between work in devotion and work for positive results. Prabhupada makes one very significant statement here. He says, the knower of the absolute truth is convinced of his awkward position in material association. The knows that he is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord Krishna, and his person should not be in material creation. This is actually the consciousness of a tattva vip, or a knower of actual truth. Of course, actual meaning of tattva vip means one who knows Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. One who knows all the three aspects is called as a tattva vip. But also, such a tattva vip actually realizes that I am in awkward position. But Chaitanya offers a prayer, then he sees himself in awkward position. Anybody can say? What is the prayer? Ayananda Tanujasankaram. All of you know the prayer? We'll repeat together. Ayananda Tanujasankaram Tadidammam Vishame Bhavambhudo Kritaya Tavatara Pankaja Chitadulita Trisham Vichintaya. He's praying, my Lord, Ayananda Tanujasankaram Tadidammam Vishame Bhavambhudo. I'm fallen down into this ocean of nations. Please pick me up and place me as one of the millions of atoms at your lotus feet. This is the mode of a devotee. He is called as a tattva vip. But on the other hand, what is the consciousness of a leveled soul? That Krishna explains in the next verse. Tatkate gunatam moda sajjante gunadharmasu. He completely engages in some body spiritual activities. Sajjante means engaged. Completely engaged. Prakriti guna samuda, completely bewildered by the three modes of material nature. Sajjante guna karmasu. Guna karmasu means karma means activity. Guna karmasu means activities in the three modes. Tana Krishna vidomanda Krishna vinna vichalaye. Here Krishna says, but the wife should not answer them. Although these duties are inferior due to the performance, lack of knowledge. Here Krishna says, some people, bewildered by the modes of material nature, they ignore and fully engage themselves in material activities and become attached. So this is the condition of the ignorant people. Those are conditioned. Of course, the devotee may also be conditioned in the beginning stages. But the devotee begins to understand this is sense gratification, this is Krishna's service. And gradually he wants to come out of sense gratification. You remember I was telling you, three modes are pulling on one direction, and who is pulling on the other direction? Krishna is pulling. Krishna, the devotee, they are pulling on the other direction. So devotee is gradually coming out of the three modes. And at one point of time he becomes free from the three modes. Vaigunya Vijaya Veda, Vaigunya Tadarthana. Whereas this ignorant person, he doesn't know what are the three modes, how they are acting on him. He just ignorantly is engaging in sense gratificatory pursuits. But what does Krishna say? The wife should not answer the Dhamma. He says, but the wife should not answer the Dhamma, although his duties are inferior due to the performer's lack of knowledge. Actually, what Krishna means here is that if we try to stop somebody engaging in materialistic activities, he may become entangled in more further abominable activities. Like for example, in the earlier shlokas we said, Josiya Sarva Karmani. Krishna said that they should be, their action should be doubtful with them. For example, Narada Muni, when he met Valmiki for the first time, Valmiki was extremely sinful. In fact, he was so sinful that he could not utter the word Rama. What word he could not utter? All of you were able to utter. I think he was more sinful than all of you. All of us here, he was so sinful. So Narada told him, you are not fit to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Better you worship the God of Death. So you chant, what do you say? Mara. So Mara Mara he told him, that was very easy for him to chant. Mara, because he has been killing so many animals in the forest. So he chanted Mara Mara Mara. That one special attribute of Valmiki was that he had complete faith in the instruction of Narada Muni. So he chanted Mara Mara gradually. He became purified and he became a great devotee of Ram. So much so that he got empowered to write Ramayana. So in this way, the great acharyas, following this yoga, they don't try to take out such condition source out of their regular activity. It's not possible. They don't write like earlier also Krishna said something similar, isn't it? That was it. So as not to disturb the minds of ignorant men, attach receptive results of prescribed duties, the learned person should not induce them to start work. Rather, by working in spirit of devotion, we should engage them in all sorts of activities for the gradual development of Krishna consciousness. So we can give many examples like this. Even Prabhupada, also when he went abroad, he met so many people like that. There was one David. You know David? So David was, he was staying with him in his home. Prabhupada's capital was stolen and David started consuming drugs. He became crazy, he started shouting. And Prabhupada thought that there may be a threat to his life itself. And he has come for a great mission. So he left the place and later I think he went to Gauri. So, in this way we see that the pure devotees of the Lord are even more merciful than the Lord himself. By the mercy of the Lord. This Prabhupada writes in the chapter. When we ask, Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita that we should not disturb the minds of those people, then let them go to hell. Why should we bother about them? If they don't want to surrender, if they don't want to become devotees, why should we go and preach them? Let them go to hell. One can say like that, isn't it? And then one can continue with one devotional service nicely in advance. But the few devotees are so compassionate. Pitikshava, Karunika, Surdas Sarvadeshana. They are very tolerant. They are extremely merciful. Surdas Sarvadeshana, they are the well-wishers of every living being. So they are ready to take any amount of risk in their life, to the extent of even giving up their life. If that is what is needed for delivering the suffering souls out of this world. Dalai Maharaj prayed a very beautiful prayer when he got the question of Narasimha. He said, Naivo Dvije Paradirakkaya Vai Taranyas Naddi Vyadaya Namaha Mridamatma Chittaho Shoche Tato Vimukate Tasayin Vrijate Maya Sukhaya Dharamodda Tato Vimodhan. He says, Naivo Dvije. I am never agitated my life in my mind about what? My word is a Taradhirattaya Vaitaranyas. How am I going to cross the river of Vaitarni? You know, Vaitarni is the river that separates the spiritual world and the material world, in which Mahavishnu is lying. That is called Vaitarni. So he's saying, how am I going to cross this Vaitarni and enter into the spiritual world? I never bothered about that. All of us are bothered about that, isn't that? Many of you here, is there anyone here who is not very worried about going back to spiritual world? If you are not worried, you won't be here today. But he says, I'm not worried about how I'm going to return to Vaikuntha. Vaivo Dvije Paradirattaya Vaitaranyas. What is the reason? The reason is, that Virya Dhyana Mahamrita Magna Chitta. Virya Dhyana means, I am constantly absorbed in the Uttama Shloka songs of your glory. Because of being absorbed in that, I don't have to worry about going to Vaikuntha. Because Vaikuntha also the same thing is going on. Vaikuntha devotee is singing your glories. Here in my mind, constantly your glories are going on. So I don't have to worry to go to Vaikuntha, he says. But he says, but I am very much lamenting about one thing. Shoshe, I am very much worried. So Vimukha Chetasa Indriyata. Vimukha Chetasa means one who has turned his mukha away like this from the Lord. Vimukha Chetasa. One whose consciousness has turned away from you. Shoshetata Vimukha Chetasa Indriya Artha. For what purpose? For the sake of sanctification. Maya Sukhaya Dharam Uttrahato Vimudha. Maya Sukhaya Dharam. They are carrying the heavy load of Maya on their shoulders. Studying in this world. Such people are actually Vimudhan. Foolish people. Thinking of them in my mind, I am getting Uttrahato. I am getting agitated, he is saying. This is actually the compassion of a great devotee. He is feeling great pain and suffering in his heart when he sees such suffering souls and he wants to deliver them. As the Lord says, don't go and disturb them. Do the devotee says, let me try. But he won't, somehow he will become your devotee. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu became especially in this age to give such mercy to the fallen suffering souls. When Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur used to go out to preach, of course they would make everyone devotees wherever they would go. But one time Nityananda Prabhu got a strange idea in his mind. He thought, I am making people into devotees very easily, but if I find out the most fallen person in the world, I make him a devotee of Lord Gauranga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will become very famous all around the world. Then people will easily accept his mercy. So Nitan Prabhu used to always sing, Jaja Gauranga, Kaha Gauranga, Jaja Gauranga Ranamre, Jaja Gauranga Daje, Sivaya Maritanare. He could sing, Jaja Gauranga, chant the names of Lord Gauranga. He takes the names of Gauranga. So he would say, Yojana Gauranga Bhaje Sahai Amara Pranare. One who chants the name of Lord Gauranga, they become my life and soul. So this is who sing in the street. There are two ruffians named Jagai and Madai. In fact, they used to appreciate the songs of the Vaishnavas. That was one of their positive attitudes. Although they were very great ruffians, there was no sin that was not done by them. All kinds of abominable activities they had done. But they appreciated Vaishnava singing. Sometimes even while in a drunken state, they would appreciate. Vaishnava singing is very sweet to hear, like that. So later on, it's a very long pastime. But Nityananda Prabhu goes to the extent of meeting these two people and begging them to chant. He is very much forcing them to chant the Lord's name. He says, at least once you chant. Then Jagai Madai becomes angry. My mother takes the pot and throws on Nityananda Prabhu's forehead. And it starts bleeding. When Nityananda Prabhu fell on the ground, his forehead bleeding, do you know what he said? He said, Jagai Madai, I am not feeling great pain because of my bleeding forehead. But I am feeling a greater pain that we are losing the opportunity to chant the Lord's name after having achieved the human form of life. How unfortunate it is. These were his words. This is the pinnacle of compassion. So this is the nature of any pure devotee. He sees a very great compassion. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came, he immediately invoked Vajan Chakra to amputate the heads of Jagai and Madai, to decapitate them. He called the person Chakra. But who begged for forgiveness? Nityananda Prabhu himself. He told the Lord that in this Kali Yuga actually you should use the weapon of your holy name to deliver the people. If you are going to kill the people, then you will have to kill everyone. Because everyone in Kali Yuga is like Jagai and Madai. So, in this way, the pure devotees, they are more merciful than Krishna himself. If you wonder, how can somebody be more merciful than Krishna? Krishna is all powerful and he is supreme in everything. How can somebody be more powerful? Is more powerful is something like how Yashoda is able to bind Krishna. Is Yashoda more powerful than Krishna? Yes, she is. By the mercy of Krishna. In the same way, sometimes devotees are like Prabhupada, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he preached only in India. Prabhupada went and preached all around the world. So Prabhupada is certainly more powerful. By his mercy, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, let me leave all these places, America, Canada, London, England, Australia, for my chief devotee who will later on appear and preach. Let me glorify my devotee in future. So he left these lands for Srila Prabhupada to come and preach later. So God, sometimes Krishna empowers his devotees so much that they can even deliver such people here. But Krishna has a respect. If you see, he demands absolute surrender, without which easily one cannot achieve his mercy. But the devotees are actually much, much more merciful. Just like when Indra committed such a great offense to his, offense to Krishna's devotees in Vrindavan. In fact, he added Bhumbatra's lives to pour so heavily that the animals, like cows, will be killed due to that. All the animals started fleeing in all directions. Because we were running, they prayed to Krishna for protection. And Krishna looked at the goat and hill. After the rain was stopped, Indra's pride was completely smashed. Indra realized that I am nobody in front of Krishna. Then he went for seeking forgiveness. But Krishna would not even turn to him. And Indra would come, they said Krishna would turn this way. could not even see him. So he went and sat the mercy of surrounded cow. Some of you came to Vrindavan that way. We went to Govind to the same place where this Indra and Sarabhi came to meet the Lord. So Sarabhi, being a devotee of Krishna, recommended Indra's case to the Lord and said, please kindly come to him. Then Krishna became pleased. Krishna was agreeable only to hear his devotee's voice. Of course, Indra is not a demon, but at least for that period of time he behaved like a demon, because he was too much materially infatuated. So, devotees of the Lord sometimes are very greatly empowered to give shelter in Krishna's feet, even for such fallen souls. Somebody who is so abominable, who are completely ignorant, caught up in the three modes of material nature. And then, this 30th shloka is a concluding shloka of this section, which I have been reading. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa nirashe nirmama bhutva yuttasya jagada jyaraha. Lord Krishna says, therefore Arjuna, surrendering all your words unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claims of proprietorship, and free from liberty, right. So here, this is a concluding shloka. Here, after talking about the modes and how one is acting according to the three modes, now Krishna is telling the concluding shloka. He says, Mayi Sarvani Karmani. See, you would have observed in all these previous shlokas one thing. And Krishna has been telling Arjuna, be detached. Always be detached from the switch. But for the first time in this chapter, you will see Krishna saying that you offer all the fruits to me. This is a positive aspect. Being merely detached is a neutral aspect. Whereas, by being detached, where do you offer the fruits? Gathering to Krishna. So that we say here, Mayi Sarvani Karmani, you offer, you do all the activities for me. Sanyasya Adhyatma Chetasa. Adhyatma Chetasa means in full consciousness. Therefore explains here. The Supreme Lord is soul of all souls. Therefore one who depends solely and wholly on the Supreme Soul, without personal consideration, or in other words, one who is fully Krishna conscious, is called Adhyatma Chetasa. That's what I explained here. And Nirashir means without any desire for profit. When do you have the desire for profit? When you are Nityaguna? Rajoguna. When you are Rajoguna, you are always desiring for profit and gain. Nir Mama means with no claims of proprietorship. Mamata. No claims of proprietorship. This is mine. That means one should consider Krishna to be the owner. That I say this. Your mama, he says, that also is in mode of passion. So he says, Nirashi Nirmama Bhutva Yudhyasya Sait Vigatajvara. Vigatajvara means free from lethargy. What is lethargy? In which mode is it in? Mode of ignorance. That means here Krishna has said, Nirashi Nirmama, become free from passion. By saying Vigatajvara, he says, become free from ignorance. He says, and then he says, Adhyatma Chetasa. That means, it is not even just goodness, it is transcending goodness. By being situated in pure goodness. And Mayi Sarvani Karmani. Actually, Adhyatma Chetasa is in goodness. But when you say Mayi Sarvani Karmani, then it becomes pure goodness. That means, if one is situated in goodness, and then begins to offer all the fruits to Krishna, he comes to pure goodness. So, very easily one can understand, the previous verse explained that this shloka, Krishna is telling how one can transcend the three modes of material nature. Earlier he explained about the three modes, how one is bound. But here, by saying this, he's telling, become free from passion, become free from ignorance, and by being situated in goodness and Adhyatma Chetasa, what you should do? You should offer all your fruits to me. In this way you can transcend all the three modes. Like what Krishna is saying. Mayi Sarvani Karmani. Sanyasya Adhyatma Chetasa. Nirashi Nirmama Bhutva. Vigyasya பத்தி பேசுகிறேன். Explanation from the previous acharya, he says, when surrender all your works unto me, mayi sarvani karmani, then that is added to nishkam karma of Arjuna, then it becomes bhakti yoga. It has to work done in devotion for Krishna's pleasure. It has to work done for Krishna's pleasure becomes bhakti yoga. Same thing, nishkam karma yoga. If it is done for Krishna's pleasure, what happens? It becomes bhakti yoga. You understand that? Alright, so I'll stop here. Next week we will continue with the next session. So, this is a beautiful quote from Dr. A. says, although Krishna has often requested Arjuna to act on the platform of detachment and duty, he now reveals his actual desire that Arjuna should fight with devotion. For the first time in the Shatri was saying, Krishna has been talking so rudely about how to become detached. Here he is saying, Arjuna not only should be detached, but by being so detached, you will offer all the fruits to me. So here it's a positive thing that Krishna says. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
Activities
in the regular life.
How can we differentiate
between Krishna and Krishna? Yeah. For example, if one is learning the art of the spiritual master by chanting 16 times a day and following 4 Vedic principles and then doing bare minimum work that is required for one's survival, then one is firmly situated. There is no problem at all. But in every activity that is performed in the day, one has to always discriminate with one's spiritual intelligence, whether this is meant for my sense gratification or it's meant for Krishna service. A simple example, for example, when I come from Bangalore, sometimes I carry very heavy luggage. Sometimes I have only a shoulder bag. I have a pack on shoulder bag. So when I come from, when I get down in the station, it will be around, say, 9 o'clock. At that time, if you take an auto, it is for my sense gratification. So it's just 9 o'clock, generally I sleep at 9:30. So I might as well walk back to the temple and say, 10 rupees of Krishna. But instead, if I say, oh, I have so much money with me in my drawer, let me just take an auto, then that becomes a luxury. That becomes for sense gratification. But if, on the other hand, if I have a lot of luggage, I'm carrying a lot of books from Bombay, I cannot carry it. I cannot walk down to temple with that. Then taking auto is justified. So in this way, a devotee should constantly observe his activities and see whether this is for Krishna service or is meant for my own sense gratification. You should always observe in every activity.
Can I just ask one more question?
Yes, suppose. This ruminates while walking. Like a cow ruminates, no? Same way, while coming from Bombay to Pune, I memorize certain chokas, and while going from Pune station to temple, almost all the chokas I can thoroughly revise. Like that I do. Of course, that is a special time. We do not afford to waste it. If I am going to walk and I am just thinking of Maya, it's a waste of time. So if the time, I am not confident of using the time effectively in Krishna service, and I feel by going to temple I can read. But generally when I come back from Bombay, nobody allows me to read. When I, people ask me what happened in Bombay and so much talk. Generally we don't save much time. We go back. Yeah, that is true. And also we should be very careful while discriminating that sometimes mind may give justification also. Anybody can give an example for this? How mind can give justification? That's in justification. You can think of a good example in spiritual life. One time Raghunath Maharaj was telling me an example. Of course it was very much touched into the other end. One devotee went to see a cinema. Then he was caught by another devotee. So what are you doing here? In cinema theater. He said, I wanted to know what these materialists are doing, whether I can preach to them properly. Sometimes people say we want to read magazines, you know. We you want any read Baban or any blitz, you want to read this magazine. Why do you want to read? I just want to know what is going on in the world so that accordingly I can preach to them. How bad of preaching. But actually, you may think you want to preach to them, but they may tell you in that direction. All that. Stay very careful. So we should know where sanctification is done, where it's not for you is done.
Only
part is that they are killed by Krishna. Krishna's body is transcendental and Krishna is absolutely pure. And anybody who only touches or anybody who comes across Krishna, they all get liberated.
ignorant
men are attached to the fruits of their action. So because they are attached to the fruits of their action, we can tell them to do the same work and teach them how to offer the fruits to Krishna. That is a final difference between the two shlokas. The first shloka is, for example, somebody is working in computer all day, he is working for 16 hours a day, such a person is in passion. We can direct him to do a lot of work for Krishna for you. Any person like that. So that is 26th shloka. Whereas 29th shloka, Krishna is talking about a person who is ignorant, who is fully engaged in material activities, and he is covered by the three modes. He is completely into three modes. So here he is saying the wife should not answer to them. Although the duties are inferior due to the performer's lack of knowledge. So the duties which one is performing in three modes and one. Like in mode of ignorance, one is always lamenting, suffering. So in mode of passion, one is partially happy and partially suffering. In mode of goodness, one is happy. So in this way, a person is ignorantly feeling a sense of happiness or riches and spending his life. So teachers do not answer to them because proper experience in the purport. I have marked certain points here. So here he says, the body is a gift of material nature and one who is too much attached to bodily consciousness is called a manda or lazy person without understanding of the spirit soul. And then later he explains, under the spell of such designations, they are always busy in the material field. For them, spiritual realization is a myth, and so they are not interested. Those who are enlightened in spiritual life, however, should not try to agitate such material in God's presence. Better to agitate one's own spiritual activities silently. Such vivid presence may be engaged in such primary moral principles of life as non-violence and similarly materially benevolent to work. So such engaged persons are of two categories. One is that they don't have faith in any spiritual life. They are engaged in demoniac activities. Or they may be engaged in a superior material activity like non-violence or like doing some social work activities. If you try to explain to them about Krishna consciousness, they will become offenders. You know what is the 9%? To instruct the faithless about the glory of the holiness. So the 9% is that by going to such wicked people and talking to them about Radha and Krishna, it is really not befitting because they will become offenders. And when one becomes offended, he may offend devotees. He may cause harm to devotees. He may even take a killing of devotees. It is very, very dangerous for that living entity. That's what Krishna is saying. It is very, very dangerous to treat such people. So they already they are in a degraded condition, they will become furthermore degraded. Then one may ask, then how can they learn a good lesson and how can they become devotees? They have to be repeatedly tasked in the ways of this material nature, again and again and again. And when one is tasked like that, then one gradually gains maturity that this world is a world of suffering. And when one is so much frustrated, then one may gradually turn to God. Then one becomes Artha, Vijnana, Artha, Vijnani. Of course, one doesn't turn to Krishna immediately. One may turn to some so-called spiritualist. be seeing about it more in detail in the next two shlokas, about those who are of demoniac nature, how they are envying the Supreme Lord. But they may go to some so-called spiritualists, or they may go to some demigods, or they may go to some self-created, manufactured incarnation of God. So they may go to such people. Again and again they also ask so many lifetimes. Ultimately they come to Krishna. They come as Artha, Jignyasa, Arthartha, Jnani, like that. Once they come to Krishna, then they gradually can advance and become a devotee. That is the way. But in order to speed up the process of coming to Krishna, Prabhupada explains here, the last four lines, devotees of the Lord are more kind than the Lord, because they understand the purpose of the Lord. Consequently, they undertake all kinds of risks, even to the point of approaching ignorant men to try to engage them in the acts of Krishna consciousness, which are absolutely necessary for the human being. Prabhupada explains the purpose. Last four lines. That is why sometimes somebody may argue, what is this? The people who are contradicting the Shastra. Shastra says something and they are not following. If you ask a Vaishnava, he will say, if you really want to know what is religion, the real religion is present in the heart of the pure devotee. It is not even in the scriptures. Dharma se tatyam, nihitam duhayam, mahajana yena gata sarpanta. The real religion is available in the heart of a pure devotee, in the life of a pure devotee, how he lives. From that only, from a living devotee only one can understand how should one follow the orders of Krishna. Because sometimes the Shastras are contradicting. Tarko apratishta satya within now. Krishna here talks so much about God and surrender to God. If you see Krishna as Buddha, Buddha was an atheist. He was teaching Shunyavad. And if you see, he taught Shunyavad, if you see Dakta, Dakta teaches something else. You see, different incarnations teach different things and one can very much become confused when one reads all these things. But when one looks at the life of a pure devotee, then things become very clear, very easy. One has to simply follow a pure devotee. Following in his footsteps, then one can achieve complete success. The Shastras can be confusing. So here Prabhupada explains, although in Shastra Krishna says, like this, he is telling us not to approach these people because it is due to the risk involved in such teaching. Then a hamper, the devotee's road, like for example, if you see Russia, in Russia, devotees used to go for distribution of books. Thousands of books used to go. Russia was actually a communist country before. And later on, when communism broke down into pieces, then people were let loose and everyone wanted religion. And when Hare Krishna entered, at the appropriate time, people were so fond of hearing about God. And for Srimad Bhagavatam class, there used to be about 800 people in the morning, every day. Krishna took Krishna Pad Maharaj was telling, Bhakti Krishna Swami. So 800 people used to come for the classes. Every morning, for months together, people used to come like that. The government became very, very upset. The people, if they go to God, then they become inactive, then they become sadists. So many were saying of the head also. The government became afraid. They wanted Hare Krishna to start preaching. So they would catch the Hare Krishna devotees who would be distributing books and they give them injection. Such injection which will make their nerves very, very weak. You know, I don't know what is the name of this injection, so any doctor is that they can take it. The nerves become so completely weak, hands and legs become weak, person completely, he lies down for days and months together. He cannot do any activity. He becomes like impotent. He cannot do any activity. Some particular medicine they used to give like that. So, if you want to preach to such demoniac people, it's really risky. Some people say even the fall down of one or two great people in Iskcon was due to the KGB force. KGB force, actually they were always trying to stop our Krishna. They were trying ways and means to somehow ever stop them, stop their activities. But the book distribution used to be so huge. They used to have, you know, the 16-wheeler bus, you know, 16-wheeler bus. Like that they had more than 100 buses. Hundreds of buses books used to distribute. So it was terrific, the downpour of mercy, outpour of so much mercy of Krishna flowing. But the envious ways are always there to stop the devotees from their preaching, to pull them down from their standards. So Krishna says it's very risky to preach to them. The devotees say no problem, we will take the risk. Even Kalagasa says something similar. He says in the next lesson, ప్రాయేణ దేవమునయక్తమస్తు కామాన్ మౌనం చరంతి జనేన పరాత్మనిష్ట ఇదే నైతాన్ విభాగ కృపణా బ్రహ్మమోక్ష ఏకో ఇది నైతాన్ విభాగ కృపణా బ్రహ్మమోక్ష ఏకో విభాగ కృపణ మీన్ లివింగ్ అథారిటీస్ కృపణ టు ఆర్ ఫూలిష్ పీపుల్ బ్రహ్మోక్ష ఏకో ఐ డోంట్ వాంట్ టు గెట్ మోక్ష అలోన్ ఐ డోంట్ వాంట్ టు బికమ్ మోక్ష అలోన్ మోక్ష మీన్ వన్ హూ ఇస్ ప్రిఫర్ అటైనింగ్ వైకుంఠ వేర్ యూ ఫర్ మై అచీవింగ్ వైకుంఠ బై లివింగ్ అథారి ఆల్ దిస్ కృపణ ఇస్ ఐ ఆమ్ నాట్ గోయింగ్ టు లీడ్ దట్ అన్లెస్ ఐ డెలివర్ ఆల్ దిస్ పీపుల్ ఐ డోంట్ వాంట్ టు గో టు వైకుంఠ వెరీ వెరీ గ్రేట్ మాస్టర్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయినింగ్ ద పర్పస్ ద రియల్ మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ ది శ్లోక హరే కృష్ణ మాస్టర్ సో యాక్చువల్లీ మనసు అచీవ్ బై అజ్ఞాత సుకృతి Ajnata-sukriti means unknown mercy. Like somebody is passing in the street and devotees are doing Harinam. So even if they accidentally hear it, that this is Hare Krishna, so they say, immediately they get the mercy. For hearing they get mercy and for saying this Hare Krishna, for both they get mercy. Sankirtam, Parihasam, Stobam, Shalanam, many activities he says. Sankirtam means even if one indirectly calls out the name of the Lord. Indirectly means haram. The Muslims say haram, no? Haram means like we said, damage, we say, no? Haram. So even in that haram, the wrong word is contained, so they get mercy for them. Sankirtam. Parihasya means if one is playfully chanting, and it's, what is the parihasya exactly? Yeah, playfully.
Emote it is
mockingly. Even one mockingly chants can get benefit. So somehow or other they have to come in contact with a pure devotee. That is very essential. All devotees chanting the holy names, they have to come in contact. So that is called as Ajnata Sukriti. Even once they get in touch, then it's afterwards they stand a very good chance to become devotees. It happens somehow, we don't know how it happens. Krishna arranges. Like I was going to college engineering and technology. So there we had around 40 boys who attended succession course. Out of that we got only four good boys from that. Those who became succession founders and became very advanced in spiritual life, very years. Out of 4 means how much percent? 10% only. Rest of them all, they never came to our classes. So now, 3 years later, one boy came to Gunjibari temple now, just a few days before. So he said, he told me that I am from Kolhapur. And he immediately asked about Vrindavan Anantabhu. Do you know Vrindavan Anantabhu? He is living in Kolhapur. Oh, I know very much. So he introduced me to Krishna consciousness. He only brought you to Krishna consciousness, he said. He said, no, you brought me, he said. I wondering how? And he said, oh, I was a student of printing technology. I was studying in COIT 3 years before. So I attended your succession course. After the 2 years, I was not in touch with devotees. So I was little interested, not much interested. But when I went to Kolhapur, they arranged for Rath Yatra. So I came to know this kind of arranging. Then I participated, and now I am in touch with devotees. Now we are standing on 8 rounds. So somehow or other, somebody comes in touch with some devotees, then the devotional life begins. But after that, they can go anywhere. Krishna will never leave them. Again and again, Krishna will keep on giving them opportunities. There are people from India who went to America for higher studies. There they went to some Los Angeles Center or Ohio or Columbus. They went to some center and gave some prasadam. So they know they give some nice Indian food there, Indian vegetarian food. So they went there eating it. But because of eating it, they bought a Bhagavad Gita, they bought some books, they read. When they come back to India, they become very great devotees. Like when Krishna Sanan Prabhu, he went abroad, he was studying abroad. Then he became a disciple of Ramapada Maharaj and there abroad. And then he added him to go to India and join one of the IITs. Become a professor and preach. I was preaching at Delhi. So from India people go abroad for higher studies, they become devotees. Some of them get in touch with devotees. That is very essential. So it's not because of any past path. As the Prabhupada told his disciples that I gave you the past today, you never had anything in the past. Prabhupada said, the context of a pure devotee. So we are not pure devotees, we are ordinary devotees. But we can give Prabhupada's books and give them a touch of pure devotee by giving Prabhupada. Marathon is coming now. This month is marathon month. From today onwards, Vaishnava Prabhu will be having a meeting after this class. So we can distribute these books and give people contact as a pure devotee for reading which they can wonderfully address Krishna consciousness. Next is the most important. Next week we will discuss 31 and 32. Hare Krishna.